Hi, I'm Shelley Kenigsberg. I work as an editor and a writing mentor and have been in the publishing industry for over 25 years. My main role in helping writers work on their manuscript is to not only do developmental editing with them or developmental writing, but to take them through the publishing process as well. Yeah, so because of the industry practice as a publisher myself and as an editor, I'm hopefully able to guide them through some of the minefields.
So, Shelley, in thinking about this, the mentoring part of your work, what to you are the really important elements, you know, things that you would say are critical to the success of a mentoring relationship?
For me, the ability to join in the passion for a project is probably up at the top, and for the mentee, which is a horrible word, to feel completely supported and excited about the process.
Supported and excited. So how do you go about joining in the passion for a project?
I think in the beginning it's listening. It's really strong listening to how the project came about, what the writer wants to achieve, beyond merely, and I use that in quotes, publication, how they even feel about the writing that they've done, or they're about to do, or that they're stuck with. So there really are three distinct phases, I think. There's the thrill of finding the idea and the impetus to write. There's the terror of it. And then there's the practice and the discipline and the persistence. And then, dare I say, the inevitable disappointment. And that's also really important to manage and to help people recognize is an inevitable part of any writing project.
So the extent to which the writing falls short of the sort of glittering perfection of the idea before it emerges and becomes real. Is that what you mean?
Yes. It is really invariable. And I think part of the sensitivity that writers have, which allows them to view the world in their particular and exquisite ways, is what will contribute to the range of disappointments that can happen. And it doesn't matter how many times you've been published or how well you've been published or how well you've been received. I think that insecurity is a part of the sensitive nature of writing. Not necessarily all writers, but of writing.
As to the mentor then, how do you, because you mentioned that support, that the mentee, the writer, ideally needs to feel completely supported by the mentor.
Mm.
What are the ways that you go about supporting the writer?
First is listening. Second is understanding what they want to do with the project and having that reflected back to them, and then my perception reflected back to me to make sure that we really are understanding each other. I think also it is a nurturing role, mentoring. And so there needs to be that very intimate communication, actually, about this. You're working with someone's soul, really, as well as their craft. So just establishing a relationship and making sure that the glitches which can happen in the beginning, which are not understanding, and varying expectations of that level of support are clear. Do you know what I'm meaning?
Yes. Reflecting there on what you've said about that, you know, the reality of actually working with someone's soul, it's so much more than just the technical element, isn't it?
Yeah, it isn't the words on the page. It's how they actually got there and what the people feel about those words on the page or the screen. And that leads to the other, for me, vexed issue, which is boundaries. So on the one hand, you're holding someone's hand, literally, metaphorically. And on the other, you are letting them free to feel like they've got, what is an American expression called, that you've got someone's back.
Yes.
And it is, you know that beautiful feeling when someone puts their hand in the middle of your back when you're walking up a hill? They're not pushing you, but they're there.
And Shelley, so you've said that for you, there's real tension here and real, I think you called it the vexed issue of boundaries. So where is the difficulty for you in finding the balance between that beautiful sense of support and having someone's back and not going overboard?
It is in managing my own involvement in the success or otherwise of a piece of writing, in timing. It can be something as practical as allowing too much time, going over time, not keeping to contract. The therapy model is really interesting in this, that a therapist can be there wholly, entirely, and then come 51 minutes and the session is over.
Okay, and personally, as a mentor, what is it that makes it difficult for you to do the equivalent of that therapist model?
I tend to over-deliver.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think that's really, you know, if I'm honest, I want to give all the time. Oh, it sounds like a Mother Teresa, who's actually had a bad rap lately, so maybe not her. It sounds like it's this unending stream of love. It's not. But it is an over-involvement. So I find it hard to be what might be perceived as cold or mean.
Look, thank you very much for being so honest and upfront. I really appreciate that. And I think that a lot of people would really identify with what you're saying. What do you believe are the reasons that it makes it hard for you not to become over-involved?
I think it is identification with creativity. Really, that it is important to know that the mentoring is helping create something. And so if the product seems not to succeed, then it's my own disappointment that's hard to manage, actually, which is why I tend to drive it a bit differently.
What are the costs to you then of that style of involvement with a project and a writer?
Really tough question. Because I think that the costs are disappointment. If I'm truly honest, It's my inability. So the costs are, that's just disappointment itself, really. That's the big cost.
I
got too, involved.
So what are the effects for you of getting too involved?
More over-delivery.
And how do you know that you are over-involved? What are the, what are the signs of being over-involved?
Signs are practical signs. They're giving more time. I think that's the main one. They are, so that's what I mean by over-delivery. Looking twice at something you said you'd look once at.
Yeah.
Going over time. Saying it doesn't matter that we've gone over time. So it's my not keeping to boundaries sends a completely wrong message about the nature of the mentoring relationship.
What do you think that is like for the client? Like, what are some of the potential disadvantages for the client? I can well imagine that some clients absolutely love that. And probably can't get enough. But, yeah, what are the potential disadvantages?
Over-reliance on others, actually.
Yeah.
An inability to come back to themselves, find their own resources, and confirm that those resources are there. So it's like a resource exchange. And if the well seemingly never stopping, that one can dip into that well forever, then perhaps the writer stops to look at how full their own resources are.
Gee, that's interesting, isn't it? So what seems like love and someone having you back can actually be, at one level, not actually beneficial, actually possibly in the long term disadvantageous.
And that's why absolutely. That has happened to me maybe twice in years of this process. And it's not been helpful for the writer to wake up and think, I don't know if I can really do this myself. I need to get mum's approval. That actually leads into that whole idea of some mental instability. And the client not really understanding what the process is, and my inability to have picked it. And can I say, Your Honour, in my defence, that this was in the early days when I was terribly keen and I overran myself. I set it up because I didn't understand the delicate nature of feeding. And not, overfeeding.
Yes, I understand. I think what you're describing is probably incredibly common, actually, for inexperienced mentors and with incredibly good intentions, too. Mm-hmm. So, Shelley, having learnt from that experience and seen that it's actually not in the writer's best interests, ultimately, what do you recommend for other mentors who may share that same inclination to sort of overcommit?
I think it's some self-inquiry, actually. Mm-hmm. I think the first process is to understand why one wants to do it and to actually learn from other realms how it's done. I'm not suggesting that a business mentor is entirely different from a writing mentor, but there is perhaps less delicate soul work that happens in a business environment than happens in writing. But one can still learn how mentors in any sphere perform around practical things and how they, it's really self-perception. I think that's the most important thing. Why am I doing this? What do I want to get out of it rather than being the nurturer? And if that is what it is, which is a beautiful impulse, to understand the burdens of that and the joys of that, but also the constraints. I think that again, I'm going to go to the therapy model because I think it's relevant. Therapists go for therapy. They are supervised. They have the abilities, the possibilities along the way of their professional practice to check in with someone who's more experienced and to see that they're doing it properly. And I think that that's actually what would be powerful for mentors.
Yeah, I agree, actually. In your experience, in your own experience and in knowing other writing mentors, how common is it, do you think, for people to seek supervision in a pretty formal way, as you're describing it there?
Most unusual. Really unusual. I don't know of anything. In fact, the fact that you're doing this is stunning. And really, I applaud them for doing it, for getting in even the idea that this is an important process for people to monitor themselves and to have a mechanism where it's not just a one-off. Here you go, you've got your stripes, and now you are a professional mentor. You do have to constantly update your own practice and keep improving. So I think part of best practice that you are trying to pass on to a writer needs to be that your own practice is filtered and deepened, not just by doing the mentoring, but actually by learning from other mentors.
So in just a few minutes that we have remaining, Shelley, other than that idea of supervision, some sort of supervision, what are the other practices that you can see would actually be valuable and would help with that practice of, you know, sort of sharpening the saw and keeping relevant and maintaining a really good mentoring practice?
Well, the other practices come down to craft practices, I think. That it's too easy for people to dictate practice and without being practitioners. So I think it's not just sharpening the mentoring saw, it's actually sharpening the craft saw. That I would see. So continual improvement of one's own skill in writing, just purely writing skills, craft skills, so that you're always replenished. And it's not just sharpening the saw, it's actually refilling the well.
Yes. And I guess the other element of that too, when we're talking about that whole concept of dealing with the soul, that if the mentor is engaged in the craft, in the experience of the vulnerability of the craft as well, it will provide them with much more insight and relevance to the writer in that interaction.
Yes, absolutely. And the other really practical thing is reading, is just keeping on reading. Reading in the genre of the people you are mentoring, and there may well be mentors who are mentoring in a genre that isn't their own. Reading in other genres, even if it's not the genre of the person you're working with. It's one's own practice. Being involved with words and their exquisite sort of mercurial nature.
And that's the relationship, the mentor relationship is at its best. As you've described it, I think, it's quite magnificent, actually.
It is a privilege, truly. So to not abuse that, to keep it clean and beautiful, it's it comes down to not only the integrity of the practice, but the integrity of the mentor.
Shelley, it's been so delightful to speak to you, and I'm really grateful that you shared your experience and your contemplation of the practice with us. Thank you very much.
Alison, you're very welcome.